The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Well, praise the Lord for that. Amen. Take your Bible and go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. And may I say, as the fellows are returning, thank you for doing an outstanding job. Every ministry, and we have many, one night we'll display all the ministries we have at Parkside Baptist Church. But from our educational ministries all the way through, and these fellows head up and are in charge of every ministry that is touched here at Parkside Baptist Church. And I appreciate them. We, of course, have staff meetings where we meet together and try to decide and help to guide. And they're great counselors, too, and have done a tremendous, tremendous job. Let's go back now, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, where the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You know, it was back in 2009 it was in November of 2009, to be specific, was the very first time that I preached in a pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church. Dr. May asked us to come and to preach and to view the area and to view the congregation, and so that's what we did. We came and we preached. Well, the church had us back in December, and through the leadership of the Lord, they called us to be here as pastor at Parkside Baptist Church in December of 2009. And then we had a missions trip that I needed to fulfill, and going over and having pastors' conferences in the Philippines and different places. And so I was already locked in for an extended trip. And so we came here, we moved here, and my first Sunday here was February 7th of 2010. And that was the first time I filled the pulpit here as pastor, as far as filling the position as pastor here. There's 98% that voted me in as pastor. And what a wonderful blessing that has been. I've always wondered who the 2% was, but 98% voted in right here. And what a blessing. What a blessing it's been. I wonder, however, as I preach in the pulpit here, I wonder if James in the Bible was preaching, what would he preach on a Sunday morning? What would he preach on a Sunday night? What would he preach on a Wednesday night? I wonder if the pastor of Antioch stood here, I wonder what he would preach on, or perhaps James being the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. There, of course, many times I would believe that the church at Antioch, however, at a different location, had different ones that would fill the pulpit, but yet had a pastor. I wonder what he would preach on. I know this, that the preachers of yesteryear, they were preachers of repetition. They were repetitive in the things that they would preach. They would repeat it over and over and over again. Matter of fact, five times in the Bible, the Apostle Paul was writing to his preacher boys, and Paul used terminologies like this, a faithful saying. Now, that means it was a saying that was faithful and was uttered over and over again. He used sayings like this, a true saying. In other words, it was a saying that had been heard over and over again. He used a phrase like this, this is a saying worthy of all acceptance. And so he used that over and over again. The word saying, if you were to look it up, you would find that it comes from a little Greek word, logos, which means topic. So he was saying these were the topics, these were the sayings, these were the topics that I am repeating. Now, I believe this. Somebody asked me, I was in a question and answer time with some preachers not too long ago, and they said, are you a topical preacher, and are you a expository preacher? And I said, I am a Holy Ghost preacher. If the Lord leads me to preach a topical message, I will. If the Lord leads me to preach an expository message, I will. But I am not going to shut the Holy Spirit out because I have my own little whim or way of doing something. All right? And so here's what we see. In the book of Acts, you see over and over again, there was people that received Christ as Savior, and they followed the Lord in baptism right there on the spot. And you'll see throughout the scriptures how different things was done. Matter of fact, if you follow the book of Acts, you'd be able to find out exactly how things ought to be done in local churches. But what I like to do is I like to take some of the things that Paul was speaking to those that were younger preachers and telling them that needs to be priority. Let me give you a couple of them if I may. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, and this is a faithful saying. Now again, something that's a faithful saying, that's a topic that he is going to review with them repetitively, I do believe, over and over and over again. So here's what he says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. All right? So here Paul is speaking, and he's saying, now, this is something that's repetitive. This is something that is a topic that I preach on over and over and over again. And what is that topic? What is that, which is, if you would please, repetitive that Paul is preaching on? And that is that faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, so I believe that in these New Testament churches, the gospel was preached. I believe that there was not a time when the gospel was not made clear. It might have been during a message. It might have been during an invitation time. It might have been with a simple invite to come to know Christ as Savior. Now, can I say, if that's the way that Paul was trying to train his preacher boys, then that ought to be the way that you and I, as preachers, yea, conduct ourselves in pulpits today. All right? So what should we do? We ought to make the gospel clear. We ought to make it clear. And by the way, when we go out soul winning, we ought to make it clear. When we send missionaries to the mission field, we ought to make sure that they know what the gospel is and that they make it clear. It's not something that should be hazy. By the way, getting saved is not hard. It is man that makes it hard. The Bible says over in John chapter 20 and verse 21, and Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as the Father hath sent me. Here it is. Even so, send I you. So he has given us the baton to make sure that we get the gospel out. Now we try, I do believe, that we try at Parkside Baptist Church to do a good job in getting out the gospel. I think we're about 210 strong now that go out every week of the world and giving out the gospel. Now, can I say, that's good, but everybody ought to do it. And by the way, it's not hard to do. It's not hard to give somebody a gospel tract. It's not hard to stop somebody and share Jesus Christ with them. It's not hard to open your mouth and share your testimony about what Jesus Christ has done for you. And so here's what we understand. We understand that these were gospel preaching churches. We understand that these that were in these pulpits, these that were heading up these churches, these that were the pastors of these churches, had full persuasion that they wanted people to come to know Christ as Savior. And by the way, can I say that Parkside Baptist Church ought to be a place where we train children to give out tracts? Yes, where we train teenagers to give out the gospel. Yes, where we train that which is college and career to be able to give out the gospel. Yes, the young married couples and the old married couples, we ought to train them to be able to give out the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is important to do. Statement number one, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Statement number two, to become a pastor is a good thing. Now, this is what it says. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1, and I'm just looking at those sayings tonight. In other words, something that was repetitive, something that was repeated, something that was repetitive and repeated in the local churches of the early days. We see about sinners getting saved. That was repetitive. That was important. They repeated that over and over. And by the way, can I tell you, if you go, one way that you can tell that you're in a good church is if the preacher and the teachers in that church repeat the truth over and over again. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, I want to go to church to hear something new. There is no new revelations. You have an entire Bible, and inside that Bible tells you how to live. Inside that Bible tells you how to die. And everything in the middle. And so can I tell you, please, that we ought to be busy saving sinners. Everybody needs the gospel. Everybody needs to hear. And we're in a place where the area is growing and people are coming. And I believe they're coming here. Why? One of the reasons, I believe, is because Parkside Baptist Church is doing the job that they ought to be doing. But statement number two, I think you'll see this. We're in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says this is a true saying. In other words, this was a topic that was repetitive. This was a topic that was talked about over and over again. This is a true saying that the man desire the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. Now, the word bishop means pastor. The word bishop is the same word you'll find in your Bible for elder, which means pastor, all right? And so we see here that these synonymous words mean the very same thing. So what God is saying that is when a man desires the office to be a pastor, that's a good thing. You know, that means that Peter and James that stood up in pulpits and that would preach, they were supposed to be not just those that desired the office of the pastor, but they were supposed to be good pastors. And by the way, I think that there's a misconception today. Some people think that in order to serve God, you have to have a calling and it has to be written in the sky. You know, as we teach and have taught on Wednesday night about the acceptable will of God and the perfect will of God and definitively understanding the difference between the two. You know, we teach our teenagers on the teen bus, teen boys, to get up and preach. But they don't have to be called the priest to open a Bible and preach no more than a Sunday school teacher has to be called to be a Sunday school teacher to get up and open a Bible and teach the Word of God. But it is good practice. Yeah, because hopefully one day you get married and you have some children that you want to teach the Bible to. Hopefully. It might be that God does maybe one day call you to a mission field. Might be that God does call one of you boys to preach. It might be that one day, just like my friends in Cambodia, as I've told the story before, when one got killed, they drew straws they came to hear me over in Thailand, and they were from Vietnam, and they drew straws to see who would become the next pastor of the church. You know, sometimes I think this. Sometimes I think you're waiting for it to be written in lights about God's will. And sometimes it's just a tender little tug. That's all it is. But you want to be jerked. You want some Holy Ghost experience for the Holy Ghost to get a hold of you and jerk you down the aisle and pound you on the head and say, now this is what I want you to do. God does not work that way, friend. It's that still, small voice. That's how he works. That's the same way he's always worked. Now, can I tell you tonight, statement number one, what is it that these old-timey preachers would preach? They would preach that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came to save sinners. And by the way, anytime you have a church that preaches the gospel, anytime you have a gospel-sending church, anytime you have a soul-winning church, can I tell you, that's the right type of church to be in or to visit on vacation. Statement number two, Jesus, of course, was the one that was to be preached. And statement number two, it was a good thing to become a pastor, not a bad thing. Oh, I feel sorry for churches that get bad pastors. I feel sorry for churches and young people that sit under pastors that's not dedicated. I feel sorry for churches that men of God spend more time on the golf course than they do in the Bible. I feel sorry for such churches. But can I tell you this tonight? Can I tell you that you don't let that stop you from going to church? Don't let that stop you from hearing a man of God that has a true word given by the Holy Ghost to be able to deliver to you. Don't let that, look, if you ever been disappointed in a preacher, join the crowd. You ever been disappointed in a Christian leader, join the crowd. But please, I pray to you tonight, please, I pray, tell you, don't put us all in the same category. No more than you'd put somebody that's a Walmart attender in the same category. I've never heard somebody say, well, I got so mad at Walmart, I'm not going back. They always go back to Walmart. Well, can I tell you, if that be true, then you ought to always go back to the church. The church is the only institution that Christ established during his earthly ministry. Don't tread it underfoot. You let God use that in your life to help you to become everything that you ought to be. Christ came to save sinners. Statement number two, they preached also that to become a pastor is a good thing. Statement number three, that which is the eternal is what really matters. This is what they preached. That which is the eternal is what really matters. Now, I know it. I know it for sure. We've got young people that have high goals and dreams. They want to be millionaires at the age of 19 and a half. High goals and dreams. They want to have the education of the most educated. But don't you get your priorities out of order. Here's what the Bible teaches. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 8. The Bible says, for it says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, by the way, that's coming from a man that loved sports. You think about Paul. He loved running. God used him to illustrate that because he knew about it. You think about Paul. He loved wrestling. You think about Paul. He loved boxing. You think about Paul. He loved weightlifting. He was well acquainted with sports, but he never let sports possess him. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but it says godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Here's what he says in verse 9, this is a faithful saying. You see, and so these fellas that got up in these pulpits, and when you hear them say over and over and over again, when you hear them say, this is a faithful saying, this is a faithful saying, this is a faithful saying. I think if somebody says something once, it's worth listening to. If somebody says something twice, it's more worth listening to. And they're saying over and over, this is a faithful saying, this is a faithful saying, this is a faithful saying. And here's what he's saying. He's saying this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations. All right? And so he's saying that that bodily exercise, it profiteth little. And thank God for the boys that know how to play basketball, but they ought to know how to lift up their voices and be proud of their God more. Thank God for those that kick the ball up and down the court, and we call that peewee soccer. Thank God for that. But teach them to read their Bibles and teach them how to pray and teach them to be faithful to church. By the way, one day, those that play sports, you may blow out your knee. But can I tell you, you never ought to blow out yourself from Jesus Christ. He needs to be preeminent in your life. Boy, thank God for sports. I boxed in high school. I liked it. But when I got saved, I put some things on the back burner. I ran track and field in high school, public school, and I enjoyed it. But boy, I wanted my friends to be saved. I remember Wade Wagner was one of my running buddies, and Wade was a Methodist, and I was a Catholic at the time. And I got saved. And when I received Christ as Savior, I told Wade, I said, we need to meet. And he said, what about? I said, about you going to heaven. He said, well, that sounds pretty important. Am I going now? I said, well, I don't think so. I said, but we need to meet. And he said, okay. And they ran horses. They had a horse farm. They ran horses and racetracks. And Wade would train those horses. He's shorter than I was. And he was one of the jockeys that trained them. And they owned a big horse farm. And they ran horses. They betted on horses. They ran horses. And I told Wade, I said, boy, something happened to me at a carnival ground the other night. Somebody told me about Christ, and I need to make sure that you as my friend are going to go to heaven. Never will forget. We met in the barn that night. And then that night, sitting on two haylofts, High up in the barn, I took the best way I knew how, a piece of paper, had the gospel on it, and I showed Wade Wagner how to receive Christ, and Wade Wagner bowed his heart, and he received Christ as Savior. Now, can I tell you, listen, I'm saying this. We need to make sure that we understand eternity matters. Eternity matters. I don't care who you are, dear friend, tonight, but understand it's not about the job, and it's not about the position, and it's not about the truck, and it's not about the car. It's about eternity. Can I say this tonight? As long as there's a drug pusher, Parkside Baptist Church needs to run buses. As long as there's a homosexual queer that's out there pushing their agenda and their lifestyle, Parkside Baptist Church needs to run buses. I'm saying tonight, as long as there's prostitution and girls being and boys being pushed into that rim of lifestyle, Parkside Baptist Church needs to run buses. As long as there's the beer trucks, there needs to be the bus trucks. I'm saying, look, tonight we need to make a difference. What's going to make a difference is not who's in the White House. It's going to be who's in the church house. It's going to be those people that get saved, those people that come to church, those people that listen to the Bible, those people that God lets God work in their life. Can I tell you, God changes people. I think we ought to run to reading our Bible and run to the time to pray and run to soul winning and run to converts and run to see people baptized and run to bring people back to church. Why? Because eternity matters. Oh, you could skip church tonight and go to some sales thing. Learn how to become a new level. That's not going to help you with eternity. That's not going to help them with eternity. You can go ahead and say, well, I'll tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to skip church on Wednesday night because I can make more money. Don't you do it. I said, don't you do it. Unless you're locked into it and it's the only way to support your family, get your body in church. Why? Because eternity matters. It matters. Oh, I've seen this. I've preached in churches and they're stale as last month's bread. Boy, and it takes me about 3 days to watch the dead begin to raise. I mean, it's horrible. Man, you preach, they stare at you like a bunch of calves staring in a new gate. It's horrible. And it makes you want to amen yourself. But you don't know if they'd be used to that, and so you don't dare do it. But I'll shout out, can I get an amen? Somebody say amen. There will be some old lady, 109, and she'll say amen. But can I tell you, you're part of the living church now. Because you have a living Savior. You know, that's why in the Bible, I think he's probably talking to New Testament saints where he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know? I mean, we used to go to some dead churches, and I still preach in some. But can I tell you, when we go to a dead church and we'd sit there, and I get these boys all revved up, you know, and I say amen, they'll say amen. Now, we're the only ones in the church saying amen. But can I tell you, it sparks something. You say, we ought not to try to spark something, preacher. Why not? You do it. You do it with the product you're selling, and you do it with your sports, and you do it with your academia. Why can't somebody do it spiritually? You know, I just don't understand this. I just believe that eternity matters. Now, I'm all about raising money. I'm all about you. Hey, I want you to have a good job and tithe. But I want you to have a good job. I want you to go out and have a nice house and drive a fancy car and have the nicest clothes that a man or a woman could possess. Boy, I'm rooting for you. I want you to have it, but don't sell your kids down the drain just to get it. Don't sell your relationship down the drain just to get it. Had somebody in my office most recently, and they said this. They said, well, coming up, I never knew my dad. I said, what do you mean you never knew your dad? Left early in the morning, came home late at night, never saw him. All the years growing up, that's the way it was. And I said, what was your style of living? Oh, we live high on the hog. Well, maybe if you live less higher on the hog, you'd be able to spend more time with your kids. Now, I'm not saying you got to live in a nasty house. And I'm not saying you got to live in a broken down trailer. And I'm not saying that you got to live in your vehicle and not have a place to stay. But what I'm saying is make sure you prioritize things the right way. I'm saying this tonight. I'm almost done. The Bible talks about how these men had faithful sayings. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. That was a faithful saying. To become a pastor, that was a good thing. That was a faithful saying. The eternal was what mattered most. That was a faithful saying. Let me give you this tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 11. Look at it if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 11. The Bible says it is a faithful saying. The Bible says, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. There was great hope, talking about the rapture. There was this great hope, you know, and so they said, this is a faithful saying. Hey, one day we'll get to be with our Savior. By the way, we have debt now, but in the future, no debt. We have sickness now, but in the future, no sickness. We have health problems now, but in the future, no health problems. We have enemies now, perhaps, but in the future, no enemies. Family problems, but in the future, no family problems. Sorrow now, but in the future, no sorrow. Pain now, but in the future, no pain. Why? Because there's a marvelous hope in Jesus Christ. When my brother died, I told you the story. My brother died, my mama died at age 54, my daddy died at age 57, and my older brother died at age 57. And when my brother died, I was out soul winning. I knew he died that day. And oh, I was so ripped up. I had a man, I normally take men soul winning with me on Saturday, my wife and I go soul winning on Thursday night, and I had a man with me, and I said, I'm sorry, I cannot go soul winning with you. And I looked at my dear wife and I said, can you go with me? So on Saturday, we broke all the protocol. I just needed my dear wife. I didn't want to go with nobody else. I just needed somebody to lean on. I missed my brother so dearly. And we're out soul winning. We're out soul winning for about 45 minutes. All of a sudden the phone rang. And Shelton Smith was on the phone. And he said, Mike, I know Dave went home to be with the Lord. And he said, I just want you to know I'm praying for you as you hurt so bad. Well, I did thank the Lord for that phone call. And I thank the Lord for his friendship. But you know, I just got over it a little bit. I was ready to go. And when he called me, all the emotions started flooding my soul all over again. I started boohooing like a baby. I looked at my dear wife and I said, honey, I can't go to a door. There's no way I can go to a door. If I go to a door, they're going to think I'm on drugs or that I drank last night deep into the night and I hadn't got over it. I can't go to a door. I said, we got to find a gas station. So we drove around. We found a gas station, a little supermarket, and I walked in the gas station. I looked like somebody beat me up or I was crying over something. They probably thought that my wife and I got into a knockdown, drag-out fight, and she won. I walked into a supermarket, and once I walked in the supermarket and went back into the gas station bathroom, I found myself a paper towel, jerked as much of it off the wall as I could, put it in the sink, and washed my face as hard as I could, trying to get all those tears gone, you know. I went out and I grabbed the hand of my wife, and I said, honey, let's pray. We prayed together, and then we gave it to the Lord. Stay with me now. Gave it to the Lord, and then we were able to go forward. Why? Because I knew where Dave was. I knew where Dave was. I remember when I attended the funeral of my mother. We lived in Brooklyn, New York. We came down from Brooklyn, New York, and my family looked at me and they said, why aren't you crying? I said, because I know where Mama is, and I watched her suffer. She's a whole lot better off where she is than where she was. Did the same thing with my dear daddy. But it was different with Dave. It's different. Dave lived a far away. And I never was able to spend time with Dave. And I felt like I just kind of missed the boat on it. And I just wanted to have some time back to influence his life. Now, can I say this? Listen, understand this. We have a marvelous hope in the future. Just like some of you have loved ones that's passed on, you'll be able to see them. You will. We've got several people. I could start naming names of people that have lost your loved ones this year. Oh, I'm looking out here, and I'm thinking, of about 12 people so far that I'm seeing right here in this building tonight that have lost a loved one. You've lost a daughter. You've lost a son. You've lost a grandmother. You've lost a great-grandmother. But most of the ones that are sitting in this room tonight have kids or have loved ones that you've lost them, and they were saved. And you'll get to see them again. Amen. See, that's a great hope. Hello. Now, can I tell you, that's another reason to be a soul winner. That's another reason to give out the gospel. Let me give you this. I'm going to give you the last one. Here it is. These are faithful sayings. In other words, they were repetitive. They were topics that were hit over and over and over again. Never get tired of the preacher getting up saying, hey, and he gives a soul winning illustration, or hey, and he tells you to be separated from the world, or hey, it tells you to live for God, or hey, this is what the Bible teaches about that, thus or so. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 8, he said, this is a faithful saying. This is the last one. He had five. This is a faithful saying that these things that I will, that thou, it says, affirm. Listen to it now. Constantly. He said, so affirm these things constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain, here it is, friend, good works. And that these things are good and profitable unto men. So he said, this is a faithful saying. Just be good. Have good works. Be good to people. Now, as believers, and I'm done, here it is. But as believers, you and I ought to maintain being good to other people. Just be good to people. You say, well, they're not good to me. That's not what God says. God says you be good to them. Well, you know, they're not nice. God's not concerned about how they are to you. God is concerned about how you are to them. That's what God's concerned about. Be nice to your wife. Be good to your wife. Be good to your wife. When I got engaged to my dear wife, I wanted everything to be around the church. You know, I just did. I fell in love with Jesus, and I fell in love with the church he established, and I just wanted everything to connect to the church. I just did. And so I met my wife at church. I did. We got married at church. We did. I got called to preach at church. We did. I did. Everything was around the church. And so I thought, before we got married, I thought, I'm going to get engaged to her at the church. That's what I'm going to do. I had this old vehicle. It was old and nasty. I was a Bible college student, couldn't afford much. I mean, this thing was a tank. I mean, this thing was huge. One of those old, huge vehicles that you saw many years ago. I mean, just huge and ugly. Had foam coming out of the seats. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I don't want her to catch on. So I'm going to take that engagement ring and I'm going to tuck it down there in that foam. So I did. I put that engagement ring in that foam. Well, you know, by the time I got up to the church parking lot, it sunk down further in the foam. And now we're on the church parking lot, and I said, I want to ask you a more important question than I've ever asked anybody in their life. Now, I had plans. I was going to reach down there just real sly, you know, get that engagement ring out of that foam. I was going to come around to the other side. I was going to open the door. I was going to kneel down and say, will you? And she was just going to say, oh, I've been waiting for this for 100 years. And it was going to be so good. I reached down in that foam. I could not find that engagement ring. It slid down there probably, I don't know where. And so I got out, and I was all red-faced. She said, what are you doing? As I was tearing the foam out of the seat. I said, I'm looking for something. I'll be with you in a minute. And I just kept tearing the foam. I mean, there was church parking lot full of foam out there, and I'm on my knees still tearing it out. Finally found the thing. Just blew the whole deal. And because when it wasn't no surprise, it wasn't no I could put it in my pocket and just kind of casually walk around and get down and make it special. No, no, when I found it, I was just so happy. I said, I got it! She saw that thing sparkling in the night. Man, I blew it. I learned from a preacher years ago that you ought to carry 3x5 cards with you and you write stuff down. So I started carrying 3x5 cards with me. I still do it today. And I'll write stuff down. And then I'll transfer it where it needs to be transferred. And so my wife one day, she's walking past this diamond store. Oh my, a diamond store. I wish we wanted to walk past that diamond store. My wife was looking in the window and she said, oh, she said, Michael, isn't that nice? And I said, no. She said, isn't that nice? And so I wrote it down. It was an expensive, nice, marquee diamond ring. Too nice. And then I knew she wanted it. I mean, I could just tell. By the way, men, you know what I'm talking about. You could give a good witness right there for sure. You could say, hey, man, preacher, that's my wife. You know, don't do it. You'll get hit when you get home. And you know, I saved up for that. I did. I saved up for that. For a whole year, I skipped my lunches. A whole year. And by the way, by the time the whole year expired, still wasn't enough money. I mean, I'm talking about it was more expensive than a cheeseburger. I'm telling you, it was expensive. And I saved up, and I saved up about a year and a half later, saved up the thousands of dollars. I went in, and I bought that precious ring for my wife. Every time she looks at her hand, she remembers somebody loved her deeply by the name of Mike Wells. That's me. Now, can I say this? Listen to me now. When something is important to somebody else and they tell you about it one time, if you love them, it ought to make a difference. When something is important to somebody and they tell you about it multiple times, yes, it becomes a faithful saying, then it ought to be more important. And in our scriptures, we see that the Bible says that these old men of God got up and they said, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. And can I tell you, if it was a faithful saying back then, it ought to be a faithful saying today. Let's try to keep it the way it ought to be in our Sunday school teaching, in our Bible preaching, yes, and being a member of a church that is like that with its passion, with its direction, with its poise, with its, if you would please, goals, and trying to help people follow the will of God. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.